Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. Welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. So if we're created to make an impact, why do you think so many feel like they're drowning in problems and fears? Why does making a living feel like you're fighting the current? Well, the answer, says pastors and culture makers Christopher and Laura Harris-Smith, say that it's simple. They said, you need to find your river of influence. I'm telling you what, friends, you are in for a treat today. These two are friends of mine, and you get one in the room, you light up the room. You get two in the room, you just have to kind of buckle up. So that's so fun. I've had Laura on the show plenty of times, but they've written a book together. Laura Harris-Smith, along with her husband, Christopher Lee Smith, Make Your Splash. Maximize your career and cultural impact by discovering your spiritual personality. They take such an incredible, fresh angle on personality. You'll just be so interested in what they have to say. And when you find your river of influence, you're going to really flow in the flow of the Spirit, and you'll just feel like, I'm where I'm supposed to be. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians aren't. So I think this book will help you get there. And we got a big old stack of copies to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. And yes, Melissa just texted. She said, Suzy, you got your Facebook back. Man, I can't tell you, my ministry page was hacked March 6th. It's been almost 3 months of Boxergate posting. The hackers were posting Boxer videos, and they were gory and gross. Today, we got the page back. So thank you for praying and for standing with us. Okay, back to my topic. This is what Christopher and Laura write. They said, don't let fear erode your purpose or ebb your eternal impact. It's time to dive into all He has for you and make your splash that turns the tides of culture and ripples into eternity. If you feel kind of stuck, and you're not really in your flow, you want to text the word book to 877-933-2484 to get in on the drawing on Make Your Splash. Quick announcement before I introduce my guests. Our spring fundraiser is next week, starting Monday. Please pray for us. There's often warfare that just surrounds this event, but it's also so powerful because we remember what God's done, we celebrate what He's doing, and we get a vision for where He's taking us. So be praying and be prayerful about maybe your involvement in our spring fundraiser next week. All right, let me tell you about my guests. We'll get them on the show. Laura Harris-Smith is a naturopathic doctor with 4 degrees in original medicine and is the host of faith-based talk show The Three. With more than 50 years in TV, she doesn't look that old, I promise you. She's also the author of more than 25 books. She's also the inventor and CEO of Neuromatics Oil. It's her line of patented oil blends. Christopher Lee Smith, a senior pastor of Eastgate Creative Christian Fellowship near Nashville, along with Laura. Together, they founded Eastgate Christian College. It's a fully accredited online college offering a variety of degrees. Chris spent more than 30 years in publishing, producing, songwriting, and artist development, and he represented music by the Beatles, Elton John, Rich Mullins, Third Day, and more. He's also the executive producer of Laura's talk show, The Three. Together, they've been married almost 40 years, have 6 children, and more than a dozen grandchildren. Oh, wow. And this is the one time we'll have you talk at the same time. Welcome to the show, you guys.
Wow. Susie, I think I'm tired after all that.
I know. When you hear it all laid out, it's kind of amazing. So I just love you both, and I'm so grateful to have you on the show. Wow. Congratulations, first of all, on a really, really great book.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to this conversation. But before we dig into the content, I want to just start by making it personal. And I'll start with you, Laura. What's the Lord been just impressing upon your heart and your time with Him these days?
Well, I'll tell you what. This all started just in the last couple of days. The Lord has had me in Psalm 26. And I don't believe it's any mistake that this interview fell right at the time that He's telling me to do this. So I want to read part of this over our audience. And I want you to listen to me. Your ears need to perk up if you're needing vindication. Listen to this. Mm-hmm. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord. I shall not slip. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and heart. And the psalmist goes on to say all of these things like, you know, I haven't sat in the assembly of evildoers. I've washed my hands of innocence. I proclaim your thanksgiving and your wondrous works. And this is where we even get the lyrics to the songs about how I love the habitation of your house, the place where your glory dwells. Mm-hmm. So he goes on, it's 12 little short verses here. But at the very end, it just ends by him saying, redeem me, be merciful to me. And then he says, my foot stands in an even place. So I just, you know, the Lord's having me memorize this right now because,
love it.
Well, we live in a day and age when the accuser of the brethren is rampant. It's not something that we necessarily want to talk about, but we certainly need to because we need the vindicator on our sides. So I speak over you and your life, vindication. You don't need to take vengeance. The Lord is on the way. Give him that place. Refuse to sit with the scoffers and the sinners and all of that. Wash your hands. Go to his altar. Inhabit his glory. That's where he wants to dwell in you. And then just let your feet be set in an even place. And you just stand still. You stand firm, sister or brother, and watch the vindication of the Lord. Amen.
Come on. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. You know, Laura, I think the end of that, if I remember one of the translations that I've read of that passage, it says, now I stand on solid ground and I will publicly praise the Lord. And I think, you know, I love that so much because when we're, you know, when people are coming against you, the tendency isn't to publicly praise the Lord. It's to kind of get your dukes up, but to say, you know, God is my vindicator and I'm going to publicly, I stand on solid ground, whether you think I do or not. And I'm going to praise his name. I just think those are fighting words in the best way.
Yes.
So I love it, hon. Yeah. Thank you. How about you, Chris?
Well, I think that, and again, I hope this doesn't sound too cliche in light of the topic of the book we're about to talk about, but I just really feel strongly in my spirit that we're in a season that the church has got to awaken to its destiny in Jesus. We live in a culture that is really has been successful in a lot of ways in the last 3 or 4 years of really silencing and canceling the voice of God through the church culturally. And we have got to allow the Holy Spirit to recharge us and refire us to be a voice in culture right now. It's so important for not only the life of the church, but for the life of what God is trying to do in the earth through his church. You know, the church has been canceled. The church has been silent. The church has been afraid to speak out on certain topics culturally. And it's our responsibility as the church. And when I say the church, that means every single person listening to your show right now. It's not just a pastor or maybe a church leader. It's everybody. We are all the church, and we all have to get our voice. We have to get our voice and allow the Holy Spirit to use us to reshape culture.
So good.
It's our responsibility.
Yeah, got some amens coming in. We have a live text feed. People are texting in, amen, amen. And we're going to get into the your aspect, your perspective on your spiritual personality. It was so interesting. Mm-hmm. But Laura, I would love to know your thought, and Chris, speak to this too if you would like. Mm-hmm. But what percentage would you guess of the church is not in the flow of their calling, of the flow of the Holy Spirit? What would you guess?
Well, this actually all started as a sermon. This whole book started as a sermon to address that very issue. It was the spring of 2021. We'd all been locked away in our home for a year, and people were beginning to ask the question because of the pandemic and because they'd learned, oh my goodness, I'm suddenly homeschooling full-time and I'm working from home. I might as well be an entrepreneur. So they start reinventing themselves. And it made them dream. It made people for the first time wake up and realize their own potential, or perhaps that they weren't living up to it. They weren't making an impact. They were just making a living. Mm-hmm. And so we decided to bring a sermon on that very thing. And as we did that, I had decided the night before, Chris had preached for several weeks on it. We tag team Eddie Skate and our son and daughter-in-law. They are the associate pastors. So the four of us trade off, and Chris had taken his few weeks on this topic, and then I jumped in with the angle of the workplace, like how are you to find your place in this world occupationally? And what I did was I wound up taking, I kind of went over to the Seven Mountains of Influence teaching, which I'd never read, but my goodness, it's 50 years, like just historic literature in the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, I'm going to take these seven mountains and I'm going to hold our church database up next to it, and I'm going to see where everybody fits. And there was about 20% of the people who didn't fit on a mountain. Now, granted, I just acknowledged I'd never read it, so maybe I am misplacing some, you know, categories, but just think about, like, information technology. That couldn't have been a category 50 years ago. And so other things like that, I began to think, Lord, how do I fit our church into this? And that's when the Lord spoke to me, and he said, for this teaching, it's rivers, not mountains. And he said, Laura, rivers touch everything. They don't have to be scaled like a mountain. They just flow everywhere, and I want you to tell people, find your river of influence and go play in it. So that's what we did. We opened it up for 10 river, to 10 rivers at first. I created different categories besides just the typical spheres of influence that the mountains teaching brings, which are like education, religion, politics, these type of things. And I added two more later, so it's total 12 rivers. And I am happy to say that next day we at church, I brought the teaching, we stood everybody up, they went to the wall, and I explained which river was which, and they sat down, and there was not a single person left standing. Everybody had a place to go. Everybody knew where they belonged. And there were some that stood up, you know, in the middle of it or at the end or whatever, and said, you know what, I'm a teacher, but I'm just paying the bills. I'm a creative. And they went over into the creative river and sat with their kindred spirit. So yes, to answer your question, it was all born out of Eastgate and us looking at one congregation and seeing that the world, not just one church, but the world is in this place of asking themselves, why am I here and how can I make an impact?
That's right.
Wow. I got to pause here for a break. When we come back, let's just kind of revisit the Seven Mountains. I'm sure many have not heard of that. I think it originated with Lauren Cunningham, didn't it? YWAM or somewhere back there. There's a number of those who have talked about these Seven Mountains of Influence, sort of identifying these places, these high places. And you give such a balanced view of it. So we're going to revisit that and then dig into these rivers. And Chris, I want you to also speak to just your guess on how many are in the flow of the influence really God intends for them. And not. And what I also love that you made so clear is this is for everyone. Everyone who's a believer has a river, a flow of influence that God has for you. So be encouraged. And their hope is by the end of the book, you'll love your personality. You'll love your story. You'll love the way God created you. And you'll see he's positioned you here on this earth, in your body, in your personality, with your cumulative experiences for such a time as this. Laura Harris-Smith, Christopher Lee Smith are my guests today. Their book, Make Your Splash, Maximize Your Career and Cultural Impact by Discovering Your Spiritual Personality. I'm drinking out of my Make Your Splash water bottle right now. We'll be back in a minute. If you'd like to know more about what it means to begin a relationship with Christ or to chat with someone about faith, you can text the word faith to 41224. You brought me blessings out of a tragedy. You turned my old song into a symphony. And with your spirit living inside of me, I'm a new creation. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. I've got my friends Laura Harris-Smith and Christopher Smith on the show today. They co-authored the book, Make Your Splash, Maximize Your Career and Cultural Impact by Discovering Your Spiritual Personality. And I read this earlier, but I want to read it again. Don't let fear erode your purpose or ebb your eternal impact. It's time to dive in to all he has for you. Make your splash that turns the tides of culture and ripples into eternity. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And before the break, I asked you both, and Chris, I'm going to go with you on this now. What's your guess on how many of God's people are truly in the flow of their calling and enjoying it and knowing I'm made for this, and how many aren't?
Well, Suzy, the research that Laura and I have looked at, it's a pretty staggering number. We guess that it's around 25% of people in the know exactly what God created them to do. So that leaves you about 75% of people who are, you know, walking around really purposeless as far as really understanding what it is that God created them to do. And so that's a pretty staggering, and I would say that's pretty consistent with what we've seen as pastors in equipping believers in their walk with Jesus, that a lot of people just do not know And, you know, that's 75% of God's army that's really not engaged in cultural battle that we're all facing. But if, can you imagine the impact if we can get that 75% of the army of God very purposeful and intentful in doing the work of God culturally, the kind of impact we can have.
Wow.
Yeah, and
so,
can I add to that?
Yeah.
Can I add one thing to that? That actually was from a secular study. It was that's not even a Christian number. It's Edward Elmhurst Health Institute, and they said only 25% of American adults report having a clear sense of purpose. So what you're describing is, and I don't even know about the rest of the world, but 75% of Americans they found don't even know what their purpose is. So this should be something that the body of Christ is leading on.
Yeah, so good. You know, I'm thinking, and I'm super passionate about generosity in the body of Christ. And so I say this, and people will hear this in our spring fundraiser. I bring it up every time until I see a revival in it. But churches and ministries are trying to function on 7% of what God intended, because about 7% of believers give anything. 93% don't. And I've dug deeply into that, and it often is because of fear, just terror of I can't trust God with my future. I can trust him with eternity. And so I don't say this in any shame, but I say that if you were to picture the book of Acts happening today, where people were so all in their purpose, in their finances, we would see an explosion of kingdom work all around. I mean, anybody who's, you know, practiced generosity as part of their purpose, they're not going back. So I just got to plug that in there because it's important. So, Laura, I felt so, you know, again, people maybe haven't read about the Seven Mountain concept, and we're going to dig into your 12 Rivers concept. But what I appreciated what you said about that, you guys can read about it. There's a number of people who've written about it in the past. But there are these mountains of influence like education and I think medicine and whatever the media, whatever those are, but what Laura, you'd made a point to say some will take that to an extreme and are taught and use it as a Christian message of world domination, and you made a point to make sure that it's not that.
I mean, I don't understand it why people would do that to that beautiful teaching, but some have, and they've claimed that Christians just want to dominate in all spheres of influence, and so they think Jesus can't even come back until they achieve that world domination. You know, and I'm like, I don't think you're listening. Like, this is not the point. The point is that we are to impact culture, not, you know, browbeat anyone. It's more like, hey, what do you do when you get up and go to work? Why do you get up and leave the people you love and go somewhere every day? What are you doing there? Why does God have you there? And how can you be influential? So, yes, Lauren Cunningham, YWAM, and Bill Bright, Campus Crusade for Christ, they both were individually given words many years ago, 50 years ago, by the Lord, came to each other and said, man, I've got this word I've got to share with you about mountains. And it was the same word. And so it's obviously a word of God for the body of Christ. And even before that, Bishop Bill Hammond, he's been talking forever about getting out on the streets and making sure that, you know, we're taking the gospel out to people in our workplaces. And so when I see that it's been 50 years since this has happened, and there's all new careers and career fields and job sectors that have opened up, we as pastors have just always felt like we need to be able to help people figure out where they go. And so because we see and get so many of those prayer requests, this was really our response to it. Believe it or not, medical mountain was not a mountain. It's probably fit in there somewhere in the business sphere, but that's not really, I mean, the paramilitary didn't have a mountain. The military didn't have a mountain. Your service industry folks, your waiters and waitresses, and it could be business, but not all those folks are entrepreneurs, you know? And so we just wanted to find a place for everybody to be able to say, God, anybody wants to hear.
Love that so much because, you know, domination, as you say, sounds like browbeating, but dwelling in the land and feeding on his faithfulness. I mean, really, like learning to flourish where dwelling in the land, feeding on his faithfulness, where you are so excellent at what you do that your employer is so glad that you're there. I mean, where you're operating as unto the Lord. Okay, so if you guys want to split them up or however you want to tackle this, but let's talk about the 12 rivers. Can you unpack those for us?
Well, can I go first?
Yeah.
I'm always locked and loaded. You know, we really believe that the home and family river is, we put it first because we believe it's the most influential river. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And these type people are the ones who, you know, they want to stay at home with their kids. They want to homeschool their kids. They want to take care of their aging parents. They want to be the sister that goes and brings spaghetti when their single brother doesn't have meal. You know, like they are constantly thinking about family and burdened for what's happening to families in the world right now. So that's the first one, and we believe it's a very important river. It's different than just, you know, any other river, honestly. And we do have in each chapter, each river that we explore, we have all kinds of job opportunities and job titles and job ideas for you. But the home and family one isn't like that. It's just home. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's just home and everything home related. After that, as I already mentioned, the information technology river, that's one that wasn't around a long time ago, and yet it's now at the forefront. You know, many believe that you can't buy or sell without the mark is all based around buying and selling on the internet. There's all so many theories on that, but the point is that we need God's people in this industry. And so we have a whole section there on just addressing, you know, what perceived to be the smartest people in the room, and how the Lord can use them in their cubicles or at their cash registers or wherever it is that they are. So we got the politics and law river, like I said, military and paramilitary. The interesting thing, and then, honey, you can talk about some of the others if you want, but at Eastgate, we had when we first did the database that night and looked at all the mountains, they have what's called the Entertainment Mountain. And when I looked at that, 42% of our people belonged on it, and that just seemed too big. And so I started looking at some of these personalities, and I thought, all right, so we've got your quiet songwriters and textile workers and painters, and then you got the performers over here who just give me a microphone, give me a spotlight, you know, and they could go for hours. Those are two totally different types of people. Yeah. So we created a creativity river and then an entertainment river. And that split the people up in our church 20 and 22% respectively. So we just wanted to create a place for each person. I do not believe that there is a single person that will read Make Your Splash and not find themselves in it and not even get, they'll be able to find insight for the river that they're in and really how they can begin to make that impact there. We all want to. Honey, you want to?
Yeah, Laura, why don't you just read the list? Why don't you just read through those 12 rather than expounding on all of them?
We got 45 seconds to a break. We got about 45 seconds. All right, go.
Okay.
Consumer services and your commerce river, academics and training, press and telecommunications, energy and utilities, and then, of course, ministries and charities. And that's last but certainly not least, but there are a special breed of people who are called to take care of others. Mm. And we really wanted to bless them and end on a high note in the book.
So great. Okay, we're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to dig in a little bit more. And when you mix this with the personalities that you guys have explored, you start to see God made you you. And he has every intention of using you in a way that fits who he made you to be. Talking to Laura Harris-Smith, Christopher Smith, they co-authored the book Make Your Splash, Maximize Your Career and Cultural Impact by Discovering Your Spiritual Personality. Got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, talking to my friends Laura Harris-Smith and her husband Christopher Lee Smith. Together, they wrote a really great book, Make Your Splash, Maximize Your Career and Cultural Impact by Discovering Your Spiritual Personality. So finding the river where God wants you to flow in your gifting, and then we'll talk a little bit more about your spiritual personality. God made you fearfully and wonderfully, and their desire is to inspire people, listen to this, not only to find out what their purpose is, but to use that information so naturally in your occupation that you wonder if you're even working for a living. Like, it's just, you do this for free even because you feel so called to that river, to that place, and to function in the way God has called. And Chris, I just laughed out loud when I read someone asked you, Chris, what's your net worth? And you answered, well, it's not a very big net, but I think I paid $45 for it. That is my favorite. I loved it so much. But then you say, now I'm diligent with my finances and I take seriously my stewardship. But When I think of the things that are most valuable, most of them cannot be measured in dollars. But talk about that whole idea, because you said net worth is one thing, but life net worth is a whole different thing.
Well, you know, it's interesting. That conversation is still so clear in my mind when that happened. And, you know, it is, I believe, a part of us to lean into and desire the things that are most pleasurable to us. I mean, who likes to go spend time doing things that they don't enjoy? And so my natural response to that question with my mind immediately went to fishing. I was thinking about my trout net, you know. But we do. We need to find those places of pleasure, those things that God has put in us uniquely by his design from the very beginning, even before we were in our mother's womb, that he put those these things in us for pleasure. And when we can discover what those things are, I truly believe that we can live and we can work and we can enjoy our existence here on earth in a way that's pleasurable. It's not always going to be easy, but it will be pleasurable. And I think that's the missing component when we're pastoring people. We see people working real hard, but they're not really enjoying what it is that they're trying to be purposeful in. Mm-hmm. So pleasure is a very big key. And I think to really understand how to find that, I break it down into like three attributes. You have your natural gifts, your acquired gifts, and your spiritual gifts. Your natural gifts are those things that just come natural to you. And I talk in the book about the natural gifts that I possess, from my genealogy. We have music people, we have accountants. You know, those are things that are just genetically tied to us that God fashioned in us through our families. Those are very important to God because they help give us a picture and a snapshot of a piece of the gifting that we have that will help find that pleasure. The second one is acquired gifts. Those are the things that we learn when we go to school or maybe life experience that we add to ourselves. Those things God wants to use, whether they're positive or negative, he wants to use those to help shape who we are. Those are called our acquired gifts. And then obviously there's our spiritual gifts. And this is the one that we really wanted to settle into and help the body of Christ understand, because most of us walk every day in our natural and acquired gifts and often fail to resort and use as a resource for our lives the spiritual gifts that God's given to us.
Right.
And just like the things I received from my earthly father, I received when I gave my life to Jesus Christ and I was born again of the Spirit, I got spiritual gifts from my Heavenly Father, and they're pieces of his personality that reside in me that I think the church needs to awaken to, because they become really the focal point. And if we'll lead with those, we'll find that the natural gifts and the acquired gifts fit perfectly with those in order to complete the story of our lives. And so obviously the five personality types that we focus on come out of Ephesians 4 and 11 and 12. And and Paul is talking about the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. These are really called offices in the body of Christ. In more charismatic or Pentecostal circles, people refer to these as the fivefold ministry. But we wanted to break it down and make it a little more personable, because when we can make things go from institutional to personal, they tend to have a little bit more sticking power. So when we labeled these, when I asked the Lord if I could use this, I asked for his permission, and I felt like I got an okay, Chris, you can go ahead and do this, because I wanted to be real cautious. Sometimes theologically, you know, we don't want to trip people up, but at the same time, my goal as a pastor is to make the gospel practical for people. And so I felt like I had the Holy Spirit's permission to frame this in personalities. And when we think about these as personalities, we can understand that we receive a piece of our Heavenly Father's personality, and when we operate in this, we look like him. Just like when I operate in my natural ways, there's some things I do that I look just like my dad. But then when we operate in our spiritual giftings, we get to look like our Heavenly Father.
So great.
I think when we add that to the makeup, our makeup, see, we're created in his image, three parts, body, mind, and spirit. Well, we have three other parts. We have the acquired gifts and the natural gifts, and we have the spiritual gifts. And when we complete ourselves that way, I tell you, my life has been radically changed when I understand that I have a piece of my Heavenly Father operating through me.
So good. And Laura, you took a deep dive in all the different personality tests. I think you guys came up with your own then, and to really tie with these personalities. So if you don't mind, I love this. I want to read the apostle personality and then have you speak to it. If we could walk through each of these, I need 2 hours with you. I have so many questions from the book, but I'll take what I got. Okay. The apostle personality. Now this is assuming, friends, you've taken the test and you come out with the apostle personality. Congratulations. You usually feel like the adult in the room. You have the innate ability to bring order to any situation, the favor to convince the crowd to follow you. Chaos crumbles when you introduce your plan. Confusion flees when you explain the why. And peace comes to everyone under your influence, which covers a lot of people since you have a knack for bringing others together. You're transparent, honest. You feel the weight of assuring everyone that things will be okay, even if you don't yet know how that will come about. You hear people's questions and fears in your head, and can address those before they're even asked. Even in a large crowd, you seem to be able to tap into corporate concerns and know the right thing to say and do. People trust you. Whatever your river of cultural impact is determined to be, you will quickly rise to the top there as a leader. Remember, always to use your public sway for good. You can easily befriend all the other personality types, but sometimes you're challenged by the take charge prophet personality types who need you. You are the apostle personality. Go ahead, say a bit more, Laura, if you want.
Well, you know, I have such a regard for the fivefold offices, the fivefold ministry, not something that I grew up hearing about in a conservative denomination, but boy, once I did, I was in hook, line, and sinker. I mean, I wanted to respect these folks. I wanted to be one of these folks. You know, I became ordained and I've tried to study to show myself approved. I want to be a good steward of these offices, all of them, apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist. But what we began to realize was, as Chris told you, he asked the Lord, okay, this is not just about offices. We each have a piece of the Heavenly Father in us. And so he asked for permission to just say, you know, can this be the era of the saints? And can we speak of these offices as if they are personalities that you want to convey and put into the earth through us? I mean, we're all he has to work with down here. And so it gets really exciting when you think about how God would take, because again, he's your Heavenly Father, he would take that piece of himself, his DNA is in you. And one of the things that I love that Chris did is he took in one chapter, he just took with a Bible and a few highlighters one day. He went through this, it wasn't one day, my goodness, a season, it took him forever to do it. But he looked at Jesus and he had like a highlighter for, I think yellow was prophet and pink highlighter was apostle and the green highlighter was, you know, pastor. And he just, every time Jesus moved in a different personality and said that thing, you know, and did this thing and healed this person and blah, 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 he just marked it. And the gospels became this multicolored, you know, beautiful tapestry of how Jesus flows in and out of all five of these personality types of the Father. And so we can too. So what we did actually one of my favorite chapters in the book, chapter 5, we talk about all the most popular personality tests there are on the market today. And we're making the audiobook this week, and I just read chapter 5 today, and the world loves these tests, the Enneagram, the Myers-Briggs, you know, all of those. But what we wanted to do, as we reviewed all of those and you know, put them all in one place for the world to see and the good that they do, we wanted to highlight not just their strengths, but their weaknesses, and how what we really needed was a test that shows you what personality type you are. Are you an apostle personality, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher? What are you, and how does that look on you very naturally as you communicate with those around you? This is what's called evangelism. This is sharing your faith. This is your testimony. It's just you doing you. So we're loving seeing people take this test. I mean, the book's only been out, a week now? But we're already getting feedback from people who are taking the test. There's hidden links inside the book. And it's a really colorful, fun online test. It generates the results and spits them right to your email inbox. And then you are put into this, I mean, you then get the link to the videos that affirm who you are and what your results were and what you do now. And then you take another test to discover your river of influence. And then that dumps you out into a page that gives you a blessing and speaks a blessing over you and commissions you to go into that river. So it's your one-stop shop for destiny, you know.
I love it.
All different.
You know, what I love about that is you're making this so accessible because we all are image bearers. And I think there's something about when it's just offices, it's this exclusivity. But you know what? I would imagine those who walk in that realm have gone through the testing, the training, the refining, the humbling.
Oh, yeah.
And there are times, plenty of examples in Scripture. Saul was anointed by God, and then he proved you know, a failure, basically, and God put David in his place. And so I think about as we start to see, I bear the image of God, and I'm gonna take responsibility for the way I walk with God and humble myself and let him train me. I'm going to find my river of influence and serve with all my heart. Who's to say God won't promote you into a greater level of influence, right,
That's
Chris?
That's right.
And we're all so different. We need to celebrate that. We don't need to cancel each other out. We also don't need to compare ourselves. You know, you can tell just sitting here talking to Chris and myself, we're totally different. I talk 90 miles a minute. He listens 90 miles a minute.
I mean, we
just each carry a piece of it, not just into our workplace, but into every room we step into. We want people to know why they were born. We believe it makes the world a happier place, a healthier place. I am just beyond ecstatic at the feedback that we're already getting, that people are realizing I had no idea why I was put here, and now I do. We've had people, there was a woman who was reading a book, and she wrote, emailed me yesterday, and she said, and I've never met the woman, okay, but she said, I dreamed last night I was a river tour guide, and I was helping everybody find their rivers in life. I thought, this is what we want. We want to raise other people who can tell other people, I think God created you uniquely for a reason. Let's find out what that is. And that really is the best way to share your faith.
So good. We need to pause here. Sorry, Chris, we'll come back to whatever you're about to say, but we're going to pause here. When we come back, I want to read the pastor personality, Chris, and have you speak to it. And the reason I feel like this is so important, again, I think it puts the fruit at, you know, at the bottom shelf, or the cookies at the bottom shelf. We've got a functional med doc who joins us once a month. And as I'm reading this, he has a pastor personality. And it would be so easy to read those in Ephesians to go, well, I'm not a pastor, so, and just completely discount. But what if God's giving you a shepherd's heart in the healthcare field? Or a shepherd's heart, you know, somewhere else. So I think it's important to go, wait a minute, this does sound a little bit like me. But when I pair that with my river of influence, I can flourish and embrace how God made me to be. Talking to Laura Harris-Smith, Christopher Lee Smith, they wrote the book, Make Your Splash, Maximize Your Career and Cultural Impact by Discovering Your Spiritual Personality. And when we come back, a listener said, can the 12 rivers be repeated? So I might have you run through those one more time on the other side. We've got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute.
Hi, this is Bill Arnold. I know you're enjoying listening to Susie Larson Live right now, and you've made it a priority to do so. That's smart. I would really like you to listen to my podcast. So after you have fed the dog, walked the dog, and played fetch with the dog, you can tune in to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. Also, if you don't have a dog, well, I just saved you lots of time.
Hope you're having a fantastic day. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to my friends Laura Harris and Christopher Smith, who've co-authored a book. It's fantastic. They write like they speak. I almost like read faster when I'm reading the parts that Laura wrote. But anyway, Make Your Splash, Maximize Your Career and Cultural Impact by Discovering Your Spiritual Personality. So discovering your spiritual personality, discovering the river that God has assigned to you, putting those two together, and you start to really make your splash in the world. And they write, fear keeps you from moving forward into the unknown, and sin gets you off course or away from God's plan for your life. Now imagine your life without fear and with an ability to not get off course or to get back on course when you do get off course. Jesus not only came to remove the debts and liabilities from your assets, he came to give you authority over all the power of the enemy. So we're looking at these five personalities that are just aspects of God's personality. And Chris, if you don't mind, I'd love for you to speak to this one. I'll just read it real quick. And this is assuming, friends, you've read the book, you've taken the personality test, and you come out as a pastor personality. Maybe you're a homemaker or a nurse, and you're thinking, I never saw that. But when you hear this, you're going to go, no, this is who I am. And it says, congratulations, you're the kindest personality in the room. While many people have a pastor's heart, not everyone has a pastor personality. Sometimes even an actual pastor in full-time ministry doesn't have the pastor personality. In short, you notice individual people and will pursue them one-on-one if you feel you can help them, much in the same way a shepherd is willing to leave the 99 to go after the lost sheep. People hear you when you come, and what's more, they often come to you. While most people desire the Spirit's fruit of love, joy, you value the forgotten fruits of gentleness, faithfulness, and kindness. Those come naturally to you. You're merciful and patient. You bear long with people and forgive easily. You also have the God-given ability to remove people's transgressions against you as far as the east is from the west. It drives some people around you crazy, especially the prophet personality type, whom you need. You are the pastor personality. That's so beautiful. Say more about that, Chris.
Well, I can speak into this one because this is my default personality of God in me. You know, I never really, like most people, when we talk about these offices or these personalities, most people want to just ascribe these to people that are full-time ministry people. And when we can, that's part of the reason why we wanted to break this down and make let people see that, no, it's for everybody. For me, I was working in corporate music entertainment, and I knew I had some really strong natural and acquired gifts that allowed me to experience some great success in that arena. But one thing that I noticed over time after I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I started realizing that there were pieces of God that He wanted to use through me while I was in my corporate job. And I started noticing that people would start coming to me and start, they would shut the door in my office and they'd start confessing stuff. So I started noticing that I had this ability to get to give them counsel that was like, how did I know to tell them that?
Yeah, honey, like you were like 20, 30 years old.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so I started noticing, and the Lord spoke to me, that's my spirit, Chris. I've consecrated you and I've appointed you to do this wherever I take you. So I just started noticing, and I started having some of my artists and songwriters that I worked with, they would come and they'd know that my office was a safe place for them to come and get counsel. It wasn't just an office where they came to make sure their career got furthered. That was part of it, but it was a place where they trusted me. And, you know, we can say, well, I'm just such an amazing person and people are just attracted to me. They want to know that's the grace and the anointing of the Holy Spirit on you. When you've given your life to Jesus, it's like a magnet. People will be drawn to you, especially to the pastoral personality type, because you're going to be perceived as trustworthy. You're compassionate. You're not going to be judgmental. You're going to have caring dynamics in the way you communicate, and you're going to help people see that, you know what, that you're forgiven. Now let's get moving in a new direction. How can I help you get there? And that's really whether you're in the music business or whether you're a doctor or whether you're at home. This is a personality type of God that's very caring and nurturing, that helps people move on and out of the muck and mire of their life and on into destiny.
So good. You know, when I was a teenager, it was the only job I got fired from as a waitress because I kept sitting in the booth talking to people about their problems. They're like, no, that's not your job. So, okay, Laura, before we talk about the teacher personality, which I'm guessing has got to be you. That's one of your guests anyways, right?
Yes.
Would you go through the 12 list just because the listener asked for that? Okay.
Sure. And if they want to follow along or if they want to just get more information, they can go to makeyoursplashbook.com. But basically, we've got the Home and Family River, the IT River, Healthcare and Therapeutic Sciences River, Politics and Law, Military and Paramilitary, Creativity River, and that's your Fine Arts and Intellectual Property, Entertainment and Recreation River, Consumer Services and Commerce River, Academics and Training River, Press and Telecommunications River, Energy and Utilities River, Ministries and Charities River. So there you go. But I would say go to makeyoursplashbook.com. And that, like I said, I can talk 90 miles a minute. So I doubt anyone's
going to love
it. On that.
That's so good. That's good. Makeyoursplashbook.com. Okay, I got to read this one. It's, again, assuming you've taken the test. Congratulations. You are the sharpest. This is a teacher personality. You're the sharpest and perhaps smartest person in the room, not because of supernatural dispensation of wisdom, but because you've studied to show yourself approved. You're smart, but you don't store up knowledge to boast or pontificate. You store it up to share insights out of the motive to help others. You could teach to a crowd at a moment's notice if you let yourself, and are always full of things to say. Not all teacher personalities and professional teachers, not all teacher personalities are professional teachers, because remember, this is a personality trait and it can find its way into any river or industry. The challenge for you is to avoid dominating all conversations, to remain teachable, and to make sure always that the knowledge in your head makes the 12-inch journey down to your heart. That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Remember that the price for having the teacher personality and constantly being out about the business of speaking into the lives of others is that you will be judged more strictly. Bring those with the apostle personality into your inner circle so that you can observe the way they lead more by example and influence and less by pushy persuasion. You are the teacher personality. So good. Say more.
Well, I will just tell you this, that I am the teacher personality, the overflowing educator, but I am also very much the prophet personality. So I won't go into reading all of that one, but this one's going to strike a chord with some. Congratulations. You usually say what everyone else in the room wants to say, and then you get in trouble for saying it. As a result, you often feel both admired and rejected at the same time. So, you know, we try with every single personality. And of course, there's, you've already read all of the others, but we've got the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher personality, and each one of these comes with very distinct characteristics that we have got to embrace about ourselves. We need to say, yes, I'm a teacher personality, but I know who my students are and who they're not. I'm not just going to try to go around and educate everybody about everything. So we really try to help these personalities avoid the pitfalls, celebrate their differences. And yeah, sometimes you can be a mixture of two. I most certainly am.
Okay, I want to get this question. We just got a few minutes left, but Leah writes in, when I typically take these types of tests, I end up being quite a mix of things with no real dominant trait or gift, so it doesn't give me any real information on moving forward. What can I do?
She's not taking our test, has she? Okay, so basically what happens is you get a percentage at the end of our test. It puts you on a page where it says you are 80% personality, or excuse me, prophet personality, and 20% teacher personality, or vice versa, or maybe you're 40-40-20 or whatever. Once you click on that, you literally are taken to a page where it tells you more than you ever wanted to know about yourself. and it's eye-opening. It's like, as you scroll, light bulb moment after light bulb moment, and then you are blessed. We affirm you. Don't despise how you are. You were made this way for a reason. And so it's just affirming. It is going to give you a sense of purpose. It's going to answer a lot of questions. I really believe that. It's going to answer a lot of questions for people of why they were not just put here, but why they were given the unique personality that they have, and they are going to shine.
And it's been our personal experience that the most people are a mix, and so that's why we chose to do a percentage, and it's important for people to know that. You know, when I did that exercise of marking in Scripture the different times that Jesus moved with in all the different personalities of his Father, it was very clear to me that maybe as a goal we should strive to be operational in all of these, as Jesus was. But there's going to be a predominance, I think, our personal experience is, there's a predominant personality type that if you can start there and lean into that as a starting point with a goal over the course of your life to become fluent in representing all of the Father's personality, that would be amazing.
So good. Just got about 30-40 seconds left. What do you want your readers to take away? I mean, it's really clear. You want the body mobilized into the fullness of their calling, but anything else you want to add to that?
You want to take that? You want me to take it, honey?
Well, I think I can be real brief, and then you can add to it, Laura.
You can do that.
Personal destiny. People, when they understand their personal destiny in Jesus, they are pleasurable, and they feel the pleasure, and they are much more likely to exemplify the love and mercy and grace of our Heavenly Father.
Wow, you guys do it so well. Thank you for joining me. Really love and appreciate you both. Bless you for the hard work you put into this project.
Thank you, Susie.
We covered a lot of ground in a short amount of time. That's Laura Harris-Smith, Christopher Lee Smith. They co-authored the book, Make Your Splash. We're going to leave that drawing open for a little bit longer. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. I pray you found some encouragement here today. I'm all fired up, I'll tell you that right now. And we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.